You're tuned into the Kojo Namdi Show on WAMU 88.5. Welcome. Later in the broadcast, millions of people stutter. So how should we understand stuttering both as speakers and as listeners? But first, if you've watched any NBA or WNBA games lately, you've noticed things are quite different. Players are wearing social justice messages on the backs of their jerseys and kneeling and locking arms during the national anthem. Basketball isn't alone, as other professional athletes are taking stances on issues of race and equality. Last month, many professional sports teams chose to boycott matches to honor Jacob Blake, an unarmed black man who was shot 7 times by police in Kenosha, Wisconsin. But some people are opposed to the messaging these leagues are sending and believe that sports and social messaging should remain separate. Should athletes express their political beliefs when they play? And is sports the best medium to promote social advocacy? Joining us now is Donald Collins. He teaches in American University's African American Studies Department. Donald Collins, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, Kojo.
What was your reaction to George Floyd's death back in May?
One of not shock, but hurt. One of anger, smoldering rage. One of, why can't we do something about all this, you know, violence that we get from law enforcement and white vigilantes on a regular basis? That was my reaction.
Joining us now is Erica Ayala, a New York-based podcaster and sports writer. Erica Ayala, thank you for joining us. Ariel Atkins is with us. Ariel Atkins is a professional basketball player. She plays guard for the Washington Mystics. Ariel, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Ariel, the country is dealing with widespread protests calling for racial justice and police accountability. What has this summer been like for you? How have you been dealing with all this going on?
I'm just trying to find a way to keep our head above water, in the sense that just finding a way to educate myself on different things that are going on in the world, but also trying to make sure that my community knows that I see them, that I hear them, and that we stick together and try to uplift each other during this tough time.
Donald Collins, many national sports leagues are planning some form of symbolic messaging supporting the Black Lives Matter movement. What is happening around the sports world?
A little bit of everything. In the last few months, we've seen leagues boycott games. We saw the NBA actually boycott playoff games, the WNBA boycott regular season games. They've been wearing messaging around I Can't Breathe and education reform and in racism. Black Lives Matter is splattered over basketball courts in both leagues, the Wubble in the WNBA and the Bubble in the NBA. Right, we've seen even Major League Baseball teams canceling games and boycotting games in support of Jordan Blake, in support of Black Lives Matter. They've demanded things like making sure that owners open up their arenas so that more people can vote in this year's election, for instance. They've done a lot of things to try to raise awareness around the fact that Black men and Black women in particular are being shot by law enforcement and killed by law enforcement for basically existing. And so they're doing a lot of different things, most of which might be symbolic, but are having some impact on us having things like this conversation around how do we deal with racism, virulent racism, violent racism in this country.
Donald, just a few years ago, any of the moves that we're now discussing would have been considered radical, potentially career-ending. I'm thinking, of course, of Colin Kaepernick taking a knee, but it's a different time now. How did this transformation, if you will, come about?
I think it really started with Trayvon Martin's death, murder, if you will, even though he was not convicted of murder at the hands of George Zimmerman in 2012. And that being in the national spotlight for so long, then Mike Brown, and then the Black Lives Matter movement that sort of rolls out of that, and, you know, raising awareness around the fact that this is something that happens to Black people regularly in this country, and actually to, you know, to Latinx folks and other folks of color in this country as well. So I think that's part of it. I think the moment we're in now is predicated on several things. Having a president that basically as an advocate for white supremacy, having this coronavirus pandemic shutting down so much, putting people out of work, and, you know, at least for a few months, keeping us away from the distractions of popular culture, most notably professional sports. So that has given us the fuel necessary for people's rage to turn into something more than just rage, but to do something about these things that have been ongoing. So we're in this moment where all this stuff is going on that has pushed us to the point where people are no longer just satisfied with distracting themselves with escapism of sports and popular culture, and are going out there and trying to do something about this, these particular issues that are literally life or death issues for so many of us.
Erica Ayala is now with us. I mentioned earlier that Erica is a New York-based podcaster and sports writer. Erica, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Erica, as we said, until recently, sports and politics just did not mix. When did we begin to see sports leagues as a whole begin to push for social justice?
Well, when thinking of sports leagues as a whole, I really don't think we can underscore what the WNBA has been able to do since 2016. And that's when Maya Moore was playing, of course, with the Minnesota Lynx. And the Lynx decided to wear shirts that said, "Change starts with us," after, at the time, Philando Castile had been shot and killed. And there were also some officers that had been shot in Dallas. And I think the WNBA, for me, as someone who grew up watching the league and now covers the league, we started to see the players more consistently have conversations and be in conversation with their respective teams on how to make a difference when it comes to racial and social justice issues in their market.
Erica, the WNBA dedicated this season to Breonna Taylor, Sandra Bland, and other Black women killed by police. Racial justice and activism, what work has the league been doing?
Well, the league knew that through the Players Association and then in conversation with the league, that the players really wanted to have some kind of mechanism to communicate about voter education, about racial and social injustice. And so one of the things that happened is that there was a social justice council in partnership with the Players Association and the league that was formed, and players serve on that council. As part of that council, we have seen, as you mentioned, there's been coordination with the African American Policy Forum, which of course is behind the Say Her Name campaign. And as I understand, WNBA players and staff have been able to hear from families impacted by police violence and police shootings, and through these families have been able to, again, say her name, but also learn more about the stories of these women who were shot or killed in police custody.
Ariel Atkins, tell us a little bit about what the Washington Mystics in particular are doing, the activities you're involved in to promote racial equity.
Yeah, so some of the things that we're trying to do is find different ways to get the information about voting out there, and also not to stop, you know, at the big election. Also understand that the local, you know, the midterms are very important things as well. But we're trying to use our platform in different ways to get the information out there. I think the number one thing about everything that's going on that we need to realize is that the more that we educate ourselves, the better equipped we can be to not only try to handle situations, but to help our people, and to help people that look like us.
If you don't mind me asking, Ariel, what was your personal reaction to the Black Lives Matter movement?
I'm sorry, what do you mean?
How do you see it affecting you personally? Do you see yourself as a part of that movement?
I see myself as a part of it because I feel like we're one. And one of the biggest things about that is I don't think we should try to separate this into color. We're saying Black Lives Matter because they do. And I believe the movement has a positive reaction and reinforcement because it focuses on, you know, the task at hand. Colored people are disproportionately being killed in this country. Even by police brutality and different things. So I do believe it is a positive movement, and I think that getting behind it in that way is important, and understanding that we're saying that our lives matter because they do. We're not saying that all lives don't matter because they do, including the Black lives that we are constantly fighting for day in and day out.
Here's Matt in Charlottesville, Virginia. Matt, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Kojo. Thank you for taking the call. I just wanted to say I have no problem with athletes and professionals using their position to advocate for issues such as this one. I just don't know that the field or the court is the proper venue for it. I think when they're off, or if Jersey and it's allowed by whichever sport they're in, that's one thing. But, you know, professional basketball, football, what have you, they're effectively working for a company. And if that company approves of whatever that manner is, I think that's fine. But I think otherwise they should use their position to advocate for these crises.
Donald Collins, how would you respond to our caller, Matt?
I think that trying to talk about sports as separate from whatever else is going on in society is a completely wrong way of looking at sports. Sports is political. Sports is cultural. It always has been. It always represents somebody's position within our society. The very fact that we play the national anthem before games is, in fact, a political stance. It is, in fact, a cultural stance, and to some extent, even an economic stance of the folks who want that. And so the very fact, I mean, we've had to have this history, we've had this long history of trying to deal with these issues and using platforms in order to do so. And sports is certainly a big enough platform where folks should notice that, you know, what's going on with black folks in terms of law enforcement and police brutality and murdering and fight vigilantism is a perfect place for doing this sort of thing, you know, for standing up and recognizing the fact that, you know, we're people too. Black lives do matter. We need to say her name, all of those sorts of things. We need those kneel downs. And this history of using sports as a platform goes back
to hold that thought, because I got to take a short break. I'm Kojo Namdi. Welcome back to our conversation about athletes protesting racial injustice in America. We're talking with Ariel Atkins, who is a guard for the Washington Mystics. She's a professional basketball player. Erica Ayala is a New York-based podcaster and sports writer. And Donald Collins is an adjunct in American University's African American Studies Department. We're taking your calls at 800-433-8850. Do you believe that sports teams and other professional athletes are doing enough to fight for racial justice? Could they, should they be doing even more? Donald Collins, when we look that break, took that break, you were talking about there's a history to what's going on now, and there are those of us who remember, of course, Muhammad Ali refusing to go into the draft, and there's been a lot of controversy over the last few years about the national anthem within sports, but that began with Mahmoud Abdul-Rahim back in the 90s, leading up to Colin Kaepernick in 2016. How has that whole narrative changed?
The narrative has changed because, quite frankly, the whole generation of athletes has gone by since Abdul-Rahim in the 1990s. I mean, the 1990s was a period where you had athletes like Michael Jordan who were basically, they were saying in so many words that since Republicans buy sneakers too, we can't use this platform as a platform for social justice. We have to basically protect our brand, protect our income, protect our salaries. Now we have a whole new generation of folks who feel empowered and emboldened because of Black Lives Matter, because of what they've seen, because of the shift in the country in terms of the racial climate that has become more virulent, more violent, actually, over the past 20 or so years. It's always been violent, but one could say it's probably been more violent over the last 20 years than previous. And so as a result, you're seeing that shift where LeBron James is standing up and saying things and saying things on Twitter and saying things in real life around how Black Lives Matter, how we need to do something about this, how we need to take concrete steps, not just symbolic steps, to end violent racism in this country.
Ariel Atkins, after the Milwaukee Bucks decided not to play to protest the shooting of Jacob Blake, how did you feel about that? What was going through your mind when you first heard that?
I was encouraged because a lot of people think we don't have a right to do anything as athletes. They feel that we should just play our sport and keep moving and be thankful for everything that comes our way. And that's not to say that we aren't thankful for everything that comes our way, because we do. But we also do understand that we have a platform, you know. And for me personally, I believe it's a God-given platform. And in that sense, I'm going to use it to the best of my ability. To speak out on things that I don't agree with, and to use it in the best way I can. You know, we keep talking about the past. There are athletes that have done things in the past, and of course I'm not 100% educated and knowledgeable about everything that's going on. But I do understand that they gave me the opportunity to be encouraged and to have, you know, this platform and the ability to have the courage to speak out. And I hope to do the same thing for future generations of WNBA players and sports people all over the world.
Erica Ayala, were there differences in how each of the leagues responded to the movement and the strike?
I believe so. I think, as Ariel just laid out, the WNBA obviously had a reaction to what Milwaukee did and was able to recollect. And the language that we hear from the WNBA now is that those 2 days without basketball were moments of reflection for teams like the Washington Mystics and Ariel Atkins and her teammates and staff to refocus and recommit to some of what they wanted to bring to light at the start of the season. But then you have, if you go to arguably the other side of the spectrum with the National Hockey League, a league that fans have been wanting to make a statement, but that the league has been rather silent on social justice and maybe not lending players' voices to the conversation, that we did see hockey players opt not to play and to reach out to one another, to reach out to their BIPOC players, so Black, Indigenous, and players of color, to get some guidance on how allies can react, what they can say in these moments to show their support in addition to agreeing not to play. So I think, yes, we have seen a range of reactions from different sports leagues.
John tweets to us, "I don't think it's a political issue. It's a societal issue. It measures whether we truly care about each other as human beings. Teams should stand up and bring us all together around those causes. Change starts with all of us, and our role models, professional athletes, have that social responsibility to create dialogue." And now here is Celeste in Delaware. Celeste, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Coach O. I think it's important that we hear from the athletes themselves. I really think that, especially in today's environment, unfiltered commentary from the individual, heartfelt, is important. And I think sports is, if not the biggest, one of the biggest platforms. And that gives people that are playing, whether it's Black, white, Latino, women, Indigenous, it doesn't matter. It gives them a voice. And I think that's really important for them, but yeah, I think even more important for us societally.
Thank you very much for your call, Celeste. Here is Mark in Germantown, Maryland. Mark, your turn.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about the Jacob Blake shooting that you all were talking about. The thing I find most troubling is neither one of your guests, no one has mentioned the fact that he had been charged with rape, and it was his victim who called the police. And he had taken her car keys and already fought with officers who had tried to put handcuffs on him. And he was going to try and get in his car where his three children were, where he had a knife inside. The whole narrative just doesn't make sense in terms of looking at this man as a victim.
Well, you seem to be suggesting that because he had apparently committed a crime that his girlfriend was involved in and she called the police, you seem to be suggesting that he was not a victim, that he was a perpetrator who was somehow shot 7 times in the back. What would you say to that, Donald Collins?
I would say, well, what about the case a few years ago where there was this white perpetrator who had killed someone who was literally eating the parts of this person's face in front of police officers, and he wasn't shot 7 times in the back. They figured out a way to somehow arrest this guy in a forceful yet non-lethal manner, right, who was killing people and eating someone's face. So my point is, it's not about whether the person's a criminal or not. It's not about whether the person is a domestic, you know, is a rapist or not. It's about whether we get treated the same when it comes to having our encounters with police and our encounters with other violent perpetrators as other folks in this country. At the very least, we should be treated the same. At best, and even better, how about this? How about making sure that, you know, we don't have the police as a police state shooting at us, you know, just for existing? You know, it shouldn't really matter whether the person committed a crime or not in order for them to get treated as someone who, in a way that doesn't get them killed or paralyzed from the waist down.
Only got about a minute left, but here's Eric in Fairfax, Virginia. Eric, your turn.
Hey, I just want to make a couple comments. First off, I think it's incredibly hypocritical for people to talk about bringing politics into sports when at every sports game I've ever been to, I had to stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance. Secondly, I think it's hypocritical not to expect our athletes, people we tell our children to look up to not research and speak their minds and speak out about what they feel is right. I think that's a little bit sickening that we think we can control these people this way. And last comment about the last caller. Why do police get to be judge, jury, and executioner? I thought we had a whole system for that. Anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. As I said, we only have a little time left. Ariel Atkins, have the protests and the strike changed your perspective on your role as a professional athlete? Our last caller suggests that the role of a professional athlete should be to lead people to better understand social issues.
You know, for me, being a professional athlete, we do have a platform. And to his point, we're humans. I mean, at the end of the day, we are people too. And just because I'm not fitting your description or your mold of what you think I should be, like, that has nothing to do with me and everything to do with you. First and foremost, I'm a human, I'm a child of God, and I'm a person in the community of people of color. You know, I'm a stand up for what I believe in, and we're going to say what we have to say.
And I'm afraid that's about all the time we have. Ariel Atkins, Erica Ayala, Donald Collins, thank you all for joining us. I'm Kojo Nam.
WAMU 88.5 is your listener-supported NPR news station in the greater Washington, D.C. region. You can support the Kojo Namdi Show and all the regional coverage you value by becoming a member today. Click the donate button at WAMU.org, and thanks.